Thanksgiving is just a week away, and that means turkeys on the minds of many people, where to buy one, what to do with it. And for many people, that means, how do you deep fry it? Deep frying can be dangerous and time-consuming and the cleanup a mess, but advocates swear by it. And the same can be said about frying chicken, and that's what we're about to talk about. There's a good deal of science to back this up as well. Stephanie Kuo from member station KERA in Dallas visits a few iconic North Texas chicken joints to break down the physics of the fry.
To get at the science of fried chicken, we're getting help from three players. There's the formerly trained chef who's dabbled in molecular gastronomy.
Omar Flores, chef owner of Whistle Birches.
There's the chef at Bibibop Soul Kitchen bringing Korean fried chicken to Dallas.
Sandra Bussey, I'm one of the chef and co-owners.
Then there's Kenji Lopez-Alt, our science guy.
I'm the managing culinary director of Serious Eats, and I am the author of The Food Lab.
He'll be chiming in here and there to help us break down fried chicken to its basic elements. Step one, the thing everyone agrees on, the importance of brining. It involves soaking raw meat in a saltwater solution overnight. The brine at Whistle Britches mimics the flavor of a dill pickle.
A lot of fresh coriander, dill seed, there's mustard seed in there. We do garlic, we do rosemary, kind of real savory herbs. And I think it kind of really penetrates the chicken, and I think when you finally fry it, you end up with like a much kind of a juicier, kind of tender, aromatic product.
So why is that, science guy Kenji Lopez-Alt?
The salt will actually break down a protein called myosin. And if you look at a piece of chicken or any meat really under a microscope, it really resembles sort of a bunch of cables that are kind of strung together and bound together. And each one of those little cables contains juices.
Then the heat from the frying forces those protein bundles to squeeze out moisture.
So when you brine something, all it does is it breaks down some of the muscles so that when you're cooking, it doesn't squeeze on those bundles. So a lot more of the juice ends up staying inside rather than getting squeezed out.
Step two, the batter. In the Whistle Britches kitchen in far north Dallas, Chef Omar Flores dips his chicken pieces into buttermilk and thickly coats them with seasoned flour.
And before it goes in the fryer, one real important thing is, I call it the clap. You know, so you take your pieces of chicken, and you kind of clap them together like that.
This is called dredging and battering. It's what gives fried chicken that crispy outer shell. Our science guy, Kenji Lopez-Alt, says dredging isn't just for style or flavor.
We dredge because we want to create an insulating layer between the food and the oil. Oil is very, very hot. The brunt of that energy is being used to brown the batter, drive off moisture from the batter, and what actually gets into the chicken travels in much more slowly because batter is a good insulator.
And if batter is step two, then step three is the fry. What makes Korean fried chicken stand out is what's known as the twice fry. It starts at a relatively low temperature, and it goes low and slow.
The first time around, you're actually cooking the chicken through. The second time around, it's just to get that crust, and it's only a 2 to 3 minute burn.
It's kind of a flash fry. And the result?
And it is very, very crispy. I mean, if you're looking for a crispy chicken, you should try the Korean fried version because it's almost like a glass crackle texture to it.
Whether you twice fry like a bibibop or fry in a pressure cooker, as Omar Flores does at Whistle Britches, the science is pretty much the same. This sounds like Kenji Lopez-Alt territory.
So when you're deep frying, the main process that's going on is dehydration. You're driving off water content, and that's what's going to, you know, allow your food to stay crispy once it gets crisp.
Scientifically, there are a couple of different things happening during the fry. There's expansion. The heat from the fryer causes air bubbles in the batter to stretch, the same way a ball of dough puffs up in the oven. The expansion thins out the batter and gives it that crunch. Then comes something called protein coagulation, which is just fancy science talk for the batter turning solid. All the while, oil gets absorbed into the meat, which helps give the chicken juice and flavor. The real magic comes at the end of the fry, browning and caramelization in a chemical process known as the Maillard reaction.
Essentially, what you're doing is you're breaking up the larger protein chains into smaller pieces. Those smaller pieces are then reacting with each other, forming larger proteins again, breaking down again. And what you end up with is hundreds of new chemical compounds that weren't present in the food at the beginning.
You can taste that magic on the char of a grilled steak or the crunch of a fried chicken. Our science guy, Kenji Lopez-Alt, says it all gets at something fundamental.
We have evolved to crave fat and salt and starch, because these are all concentrated calorie sources. It's basically just, you know, hitting all the sort of primal pleasure centers of our brain.
Whether you're at Whistle Britches or BB Bop Soul Kitchen or the countless other chicken joints across North Texas, the science is constant. The recipes are chemistry, physics, and thermodynamics. But our love for fried chicken is basic biology.
Stephanie Kuo from member station KERA in Dallas.